What do you mean?
Log Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to the wait. Welcome to the show, everyone. Let me stop the music before I lose myself in my own show. My name is Golden Hawk, and this is another reality show, and we are here tonight to have fun, to learn, to open our hearts and open our minds, and explore the world of the inside of who we are and the inside of our being. I'm really excited. Tonight is not only one of my dearest friends, but by golly, he's one of the greatest coaches I've ever worked with. I wish I had a little button to go, yay! But tonight I want to welcome to the show, Jay Sikora. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. So, Jay, so much to say and so much time to say it. I brought you here tonight, well, for many reasons. One, we met, I'd say, what, a little more than a year ago?
No, a little less than a year ago.
A little less than a year ago.
Suffice it to say it's about a year now.
Okay, so we met about a year ago, and, you know, as the show unfolds, we'll get into the details, but I can honestly say that since I have met Jay, I have probably done, if we had to measure my growth from an outside perspective, I have probably grown the size of 3 football fields. And I can tell you before I met Jay that my growth was measured in inches, not in yards.
You're welcome.
So before we get into, because there's so much to share with the audience, before we get into that, let's introduce, I want the listening audience to find out who you are and, what makes Jay Sikora full contact coaching Viking extraordinaire who he is. So share about, who you are, how you got here, whatever you're comfortable with.
I'll give you like the elevator resume, so to speak.
Okay.
I wound up went to a military college, and I started out as an artist in high school, and I had a choice of either following my art or getting an engineering degree. So I wound up choosing to get an engineering degree, figuring that I would pick up my art sometime in the future, which has yet to unfold. So went to college, got a degree in mechanical engineering, nuclear engineering, and graduated with a license for the Merchant Marine.
Okay.
So if anybody was in the news lately, the guys who the pirates who snatched the Maersk ship and then the SEALs that subsequently rescued the captain, that's what we used to do. So I used to be an officer on either a cargo ship or an oil tanker or ocean research ships. And I went from there. I worked for a company called Con Ed in New York City. And with Con Ed, I started doing projects, and I basically became like a turnaround specialist. I would get a project that was either very, very difficult or somebody, hadn't done really well, and I would have to come in and clean it up or turn it around or get it done, et cetera.
Right.
But I left Con Ed, and I went to work for a company called American Refuel, and I continued the turnaround specialist kind of role.
So when you say turnaround, meaning you were the guy who was troubleshooting. When there's trouble, they came to you.
Right.
Okay.
So if you want to think of it in terms of pulp fiction, when Harvey Keitel is the cleaner or Mr. Wolf.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it wasn't as dramatic as that, but it was like...
Well, that's good to know. we are doing life coaching here.
I didn't really, you know, I didn't deal with my fair share. I didn't deal with that, you know, I didn't deal with dead bodies on a regular basis.
So. Right, but you were clearly cleaning up dying engineering situations.
Well, just either very dangerous or things that had been messed up or you know what I mean? Whatever somebody else couldn't fix. I used to refer to myself as the gorilla in the cage. When it got bad, they would take the gorilla out of the cage.
Okay. I like it. It's very you, baby. It's very you.
And then when it got fixed, the gorilla had to go back in the cage.
Okay.
So in the process of doing that, I've wound up, you know, indirectly coaching probably hundreds of different people. It's pretty interesting. The people that worked for me at Con Ed are all now supervision, management, and they were regular rank and file when they worked for me at Con Ed. And the people that worked for me at American Refuel or that I worked with directly in American Refuel, again, are all, you know, plant managers and management and supervisors and all sorts of stuff like that. So indirectly, I was always coaching in one way or another. So, I mean, it wasn't done on a conscious basis. But then after American Refuel, through a bunch of different iterations, I wound up running my own business. And I found that I had to actually start training, my managers and my supervisors and my workers and et cetera, et cetera. So one of the things that I, you know, used to do is every week I used to write a spot on how to be a general. And, you know, I was always a very good battlefield general. So, again, in a visualization role, you know, in a construction environment, I'm like a General Patton, you know.
Okay.
It's not pretty, but it'll get done. You know what I mean? So.
Right, but when you're working in boiler rooms, it's not about, you know, being pretty. It's about being effective. So
it's about getting something done. So
exactly.
I was always coaching in one way or another, and then recently, over the past year or so, I started, you know, with you and with about four or five other people, just started to dabble in coaching and see if. If the processes that I've developed over years hold true, not necessarily in a power plant environment or a construction environment, and see if they hold true. So I basically had about six different women that I was coaching, and it all worked very well for each one of them. And I thought that was unique because, most of my contact is with guys, not necessarily girls. So
right.
That lends me to believe that the processes hold regardless of gender, et cetera, regardless of situation. So now we're ready to, in the last 6 months since the beginning of the year, really, we've come out and we started to put these things in place and things together and started coaching people, you know. So we basically were beta prototype last year, and now we're full out there. So.
Indeed. And, you know, I definitely want the audience to know that promoting Jay is one of those, it's a no-brainer and it's easy for me. It really is no lie that he has helped me experience a general manager position at a radio station. He has helped me manifest certain experiences that I myself at the time couldn't even visualize myself experiencing. I knew I wanted them, but I had really no understanding how to bring them from the non-physical to the physical. And I think that's an extremely important piece of, you know, all the, you know, the law of attraction workshops or information and all the metaphysical information that we hear that has the purpose to manifest something in the physical, ultimately has to manifest something in the physical, because I know there's a lot of things that I've tried that I would quickly find for myself, and I have a feeling my friends out there from Colorado are going to resonate with this. There are certain people that if they don't incorporate the metaphysical aspects of who we are, how could they life coach us, not taking into account the metaphysical aspect of who we are? I mean, it's clear to me that I want to work all levels of my dimension when I'm manifesting. I don't want to just, you know, hit the pavement and fill out applications to get a job. I want to call a job to me and pick up the phone and say, I accept. I mean, that's, we're talking full-blown, full-contact magic here. All right, Jay Bird.
Yeah, and it's really, it's very simple. It's really thought, word, deed. And it's making sure those three things are in alignment. So what you're saying is absolutely, your thoughts have to be in the right way. Your words, your internal self-speak or your language has to be the right way. But then the last, indeed, you actually have to do something.
That was the part where I'm a dreamer. I'm like, can't I just dream this in? And Jay would be like, no, Goldie, you have to just, and he would tell me, just move in a direction and it'll start coming to you. And well, I mean, we'll talk about the specifics of that, but well, keep going, Jay. I didn't mean to interrupt because indeed the action is a third and clearly an important part of this.
Yeah. And the thing that, you know, that there's a law of inertia. Things in motion tend to stay in motion. Things at rest tend to stay at rest. So if you're going to sit cross-legged and wish for what you want, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. And if that works for you, rock on with your bathtub. But that has not necessarily been what my experience has been. You know, you have to first envision it, get it straight in your head, believe it's all going to happen, but eventually, somewhere, you have to do something. So the success, I think, that we've had, is specifically with you, Goldie, is, you know, what we used to say, talk less, do more.
Yeah, that is something that Jay is fond of saying to me. And you know, one of the things about Jay is, just so you know, this man is full contact Viking. He has tremendous Viking energy. But I'll be honest with you, when he is coaching you, His connection with his divine feminine is full-blown, just as strong as the Viking. He's extremely sensitive, intuitive, compassionate, nurturing. He has a memory like an elephant remembers or forgets. I'm so...
Yeah.
Whatever, a good memory animal...
At least I have a better memory than you.
You do. But I'm telling you, I mean, I just feel so... I'm encompassed in an energy that, I mean, I forgot how you said it, but it's essentially, he never stops visualizing for me that which I have stated I desire, in a way that every conversation we have, whether we're quote unquote doing a session of coaching, or we're just talking about, you know, things going on in our daily lives. His vision for me is always the broadest, biggest, expanded vision to have for me. And I definitely believe, and he also believes, that because he holds that state of being for me, walking into it it's not effortless, but it is, I've walked into more successes in the physical with Jay as my coach than any other person I've ever worked with. Like I said, three football fields worth, as opposed to inches and millimeters, which I've done in the past. So there's something to this.
Well, and I think that the thing that, you know, the core of anything that I really do is try to paint the picture in somebody's head so that they can feel it. And, you know, whatever mechanism that happens, whatever it takes to do that, is just, you know, you just try different things. Like, for example, can I share your general manager thing we did? Or?
Oh, please. Absolutely.
So, like when when you got named general manager and you were nervous about it, I'd never been a general manager, oh, what am I going to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
That's
me. So, but let's go back to that, like what I said, the thought, word, deed.
Okay.
You got named general manager, right?
Right.
In reality, you were the general manager. You subsequently did a wonderful amount of things that a general manager would do, should do, and could do. But at that moment, your thoughts were, oh, my God, I'm not a general manager.
Right.
Your words were, oh, my God, I'm not a general manager.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah, I was clearly painting the picture. I'm not a general manager.
Right. So, but and this is the deeper point. By thinking that way, and by talking that way, guess what? Nothing happens.
Right.
You're not a general manager.
Right.
Now,
right.
Very simple. So if you think that you are, and you talk that you are, and you do stuff like it, it's supposed to do. You know, a general manager is supposed to do. Eventually, you're a general manager. It's
right.
Just it's as simple as starting to think of doing something, et cetera, et cetera. So now, when someone like yourself, you're in a panic, you're nervous about it, oh, my God, a lot of responsibility. So what we did, if you, you know, and I'm sure you remember, is we, you know, I said to you, you know, I'm going to interview you. I'm from Rolling Stone.
Right.
And it's 10 years now, and you've been general manager of the place for 10 years. And I had you describe your office, describe the opulence that you experienced as general manager of the radio station and how big the radio station is now. And all we did was play with it. And by playing with it, you felt it. And we did have you feel like the general manager for 20 minutes maybe on the phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And from that space, so now that you were the general manager, so we put you in a, you know, We put you in a state of being where you were the general manager. We asked you questions. What were the first things you had to do? And you came up with a list of the first things you had to do as general manager, right? And then when you came out of trance or whatever you want to call that, right, you had a list. And
right.
then that week you did the list, thought, word, deed. You did the list. And the list was like, you had to be closer to your DJs, you had to understand the engineers, and you had to get sponsors or something like that.
Yep.
And if you remember, by like Wednesday, you had a whale sponsor. You had this big, you know, big Wall Street guy come up, and he was all enamored with you and everything like that.
In less than a week,
right.
That manifested, yes.
But, and again, I want to be really clear about it. That's not me that's manifesting it. That's you. You're an incredibly powerful being, and so is everyone. But we're always very powerful when we align ourselves with thought, word, deed. When those three things are in a line and congruent, the things that we can achieve are amazing. Now, if we're not achieving something, generally there's a misalignment in that, you know, between your thought, your word, and your deed, there's something's not right.
Right.
So then that's why the energy gets diffused and you really don't achieve those things that you're capable of.
Well, you know, a good friend of ours, and my friends in the chat room know this person, Daniel Jacobs, he always talks about don't ask what is, ask what if. Because, in other words, nothing's not possible. It's just a matter of, you know, aligning yourself up with to connect that.
Right.
Absolutely, plus the emotion. Emotion is, I mean, let's talk about the power of emotion. Because, see, this isn't just a game of visualizing. Let's talk about, because, Jay, I know that we've already had this discussion, but, I mean, let's get it on the air. How important is the emotion in the creation of it becoming a physical experience?
Well, you have to feel it with every, you have to be it. You have to be it, even if it's only momentarily.
Right.
By being it, by being your future, or by being what you want to envision, right, by being it in the present, in the here and now, you can then, you understand, okay, this is what this feels like. So then, as you go out in the world, things come to you, and you go, all right, that makes me feel more like that, or that makes me feel less like that. You know what I mean? So you're left with an ability to gravitate or to direct yourself towards the feeling that you made happen through your visualization and your passion. But the passion about it is you have to, like, and you know, whether it's passion, whether it's emotion, for me, it's feeling. You can literally transport yourself and imagine and feel a set of circumstances, like we were talking about with you with the general manager. You were the general manager. You were swinging in like a rope pair, hanging. And
I was.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like
I
you,
was.
You know,
it was, wait, what was it? Rolling Stone magazine was interviewing me. Because I think the best part about the imagination is that it allows you to literally become that which you played with me to become, which was the general manager.
Right. And because you, and again, when we did this, you were in a very negative space about being the general manager.
Right.
Because we were able to create that vision, create that emotion, or said differently, create that feeling in you. You felt like the general manager for a period of time.
Yes.
And you naturally became the general manager because you felt it. You know, most people, I would imagine, you know, I don't have the data to prove this, but you don't become something because you don't understand what it feels like or you don't understand what it looks like. And you can cobble that together. It's not always going to be right, but you can get a, you know, you can get a picture. Like if you say, I want to lose weight. Well, walking around saying I'm too fat, it doesn't help.
Feel thin and you'll lose weight.
Right. Envision yourself as a thin, healthy person, and eventually you lose weight.
Right.
You know, because you ask yourself questions like, what would a thin, healthy person do at this point? What would an in-shape person do at this point? You know what I mean? And in-shape and healthy and thin people do things differently than overweight people. You know, it's just the way it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it is just – isn't that the building blocks of how the entire universe works?
Well, I wouldn't profess to say that, but I mean, yes, I think it is. But
it is how creation works. Well, I should say maybe not the entire universe, but I believe it's how the human creation is created by – You have to become it. You have to become it however. And that's the gift of the imagination. The imagination lets you become it without any, there's no block saying, like in imagination, there's not a block at the door that says, sorry, you didn't pay your dues this month. Can't come into the realm of imagination.
Right.
Can't picture that.
Right. Well, there is if you believe that there is.
Well, and that is the one, right, in imagination, everything is truth.
Right.
But that also, if you think about it, that really is a reflection of, in my opinion anyways, of reality. You know, there's a famous quote, if you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you can't. The universe will adapt to whatever it is you're putting out there.
Right, and if you think about it, everything you see in front of you, everything that everyone who can hear me right now sees in front of them, existed as a thought before it became physical. If you're sitting in your car, your steering wheel was an idea in somebody's head before it got made. The dials on your radio, the buttons on your computer were all an idea in someone's head before it became physical.
Yeah, well, and I would even go as far to say that doesn't that also apply to natural physicalness, isness? Something thought that up.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Well, you know, listen, this is another reality show.
I don't know.
I'm not saying I know what the creator, quote unquote, is, but I believe that you're correct. It is thought as a process manifest.
Yeah.
But not without emotion behind it or a part of it or, you know, within it.
Yeah, all right, I guess.
Or I should say, and I was watching this in the chat room, emotion clearly tends to speed up the creation of things.
Yes, emotion is the gas pedal.
Exactly,
right?
The accelerator, yes.
Accelerator, right. That is the thing that makes it move fast or makes it move slow.
Right. Okay, so we have a good foundation here that everybody kind of understands where you're coming from. Now, what I wanted to do is Jay has these incredible techniques that are just incredibly – they're fun. They're fun ways to explore, create, and express ourselves. Now, one of the things that he does is he's you talk about the 25 people, babe.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a little background. I went to a Landmark Forum class, and the class was like how to define your archetype, or something. I'm probably misspeaking exactly what the right verbiage was, but it was, you know, basically a bunch of people went in there, and they were the teacher or the class leader started out class like, all right, no one knows it yet, but you all have an archetype that you play to. And I raised my hand. I said, I have an archetype. I know what it is.
Right.
The teacher was like, no, you couldn't. You don't really. Most people are not conscious of their archetype. And I'm like, oh, I am absolutely conscious. I know exactly what. So he said, you know, I was kind of annoying him. I didn't realize it. But, you know, he turned around and he said, oh, yeah, if you have an archetype, your archetype has theme music. Any true archetype has theme music. I said, oh.
Has what? Theme music?
Theme music, yeah.
Okay.
Theme music. In other words, like a superhero has theme music, so does your
Okay.
So, and he said, does your archetype, do you have theme music? I said, absolutely. Ride of the Valkyries by Vaughn.
Okay, is that a Viking, is that Celtic music?
But, yes, it's a Viking. It's that, da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, I'm not going to sing it. Anyway. So what it, you know, when I walked away from that, thinking to myself, aha, see, I knew I had an archetype. And literally, the vision I have in my head when I do anything new is like the biggest, scariest, nastiest Viking you could possibly imagine, hanging off the bow of a ship, about to land on the beach, and I have a big axe in my hand, and the rain is pelting down, and there's just, you know, it's just, yummy. You know, right? So anything I did, any job I did, any new company I started, any new relationship, I approached it from that perspective, right?
Okay.
Well,
hopefully you were dating female wrestlers, but go on.
No. Yeah. I only, you know, you had to have, if you were a woman in my life, you have to be an amazing caliber just to hang. So.
Okay.
But, so what I realized was that was great when I was a troubleshooter, right? But what the flip side of that was that archetype was so ingrained, I didn't have any other moves.
Right.
I didn't have a charming guy. I didn't have a nice guy. I was nice, but I mean, you know, at a moment's notice, I could snarl an eyebrow and want to, you know, off somebody with their axe. You know what I mean? So,
right. You were a bull in a china shop. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what I realized was, even though the Viking was very anchored in, that was great, it was very limited. So I tried to become different archetypes. I tried to envision myself differently. And the Viking archetype was so strong, I couldn't hold on to anything. I couldn't, you know, like we were talking about with you being the general manager, you know what I mean, feeling like the general manager. I couldn't feel anything strong enough to be other than the Viking.
Okay.
So when I thought to myself, all right, well, I really need an image. I need to be able to concentrate on something and have an image so I can hold this other image in my head like I hold the image of the Viking in my head.
Right.
So
right.
I couldn't come up with any one image. So what I did is I made a list of about 25 people that I wanted to emulate in full or in part, real or imagined people. So, like, on my list is Michael Corleone. Benjamin Franklin, but Michael Corleone, because he was, you know, like in the movie, they talk about he became the puppet master. He moved everything. You know, he was in control, regardless of what happened.
Right.
So when I said Michael Corleone, you know, I just kind of did it as a stream of consciousness, Ben Franklin, Thomas Edison, Donald Trump, you know, I just made this whole list of things, and I'm like,
okay, wait a minute. I got to interrupt for a sec. There's a question in the chat room. Are you Scandinavian?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is part of your ethnicity in your DNA, the whole Viking Celtic kind of.
Well, but there's an interesting story about that. My father was adopted, so my last name is actually Sikora.
Okay.
So my surname is actually Polish. So I was brought up thinking I was Polish. And I had this Viking image in my head when I was a kid as well.
Okay.
And then when I was about 15 or 16, I found out that my father was, my grandmother wasn't the right grandmother, but my father was adopted by the grandfather Sikora. So my father is actually, you know, half Norwegian, a quarter Irish, and a quarter Italian. So I didn't know that until I was about 16.
Okay.
So the Viking.
Well, you didn't have confirmation of that, but you really did know it because you were feeling it.
I felt it. That's what I'm getting at. I felt it, but the Viking image didn't come from Norwegian background. I, you know, I, kind of happened at the same time. So.
Well, it was part of, it's actually part of your DNA. I mean, it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is an even more, you know, metaphysical, so to speak, you know, meaning it came from inside out. So,
absolutely.
Okay, so, okay, because I just want to always, you know, if they're asking questions in the chat room, I want them, you know, we'll keep them interacting. Yeah. Okay, keep going about the okay, so we're talking about the aspects and Don Corleone,
Michael Corleone, and you know, I had Da Vinci, Rembrandt, you know, from the artist perspective of me, I had Rembrandt, Norman Rockwell, and Frank Lloyd Wright.
It's interesting you brought your artist in as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, my 25, I don't have it in front of me, but the pillars of my 25, if you will, are Franklin, Edison, Einstein, I don't remember who else. But Da Vinci. So I'm trying to see the picture in my head.
Right.
So, and then Michael Corleone, Donald Trump, all sorts of stuff. Michael Corleone, Donald Trump. In the artist section, it was Norman Rockwell, Rembrandt, again Da Vinci. So Da Vinci was an inventor, but an artist at the same time. Edison was an inventor, but a businessman.
Well, I would even go as far to say Da Vinci was also a prophet or a seer, because, I mean, he was inventing the helicopter before we even had planes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it's an inventor.
Clearly a visionary.
Right.
Clearly.
But an artist as well.
Expressed,
you know,
as an artist as well. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but the, anyway, I came up with it in the, that's the artist section. And then I had like a charming section because I wanted to bring out my charming side, because I own my own business and I had to sell for a living, and being the biggest, scariest Viking that walks, you know, so imagine, this
right.
was my sales technique. I'm the biggest, scariest, nastiest Viking you could possibly imagine. I walk in the village and go, hey, would you like to buy something?
Right, right. Okay, wait a minute. I want to clear up for the, for Queen of Pearls. What we're talking about right now is Jay had an archetype in his being that he knew of, the Viking. But in order to function in a world where you need more than, you know, a sledgehammer and an axe, he had to, he wanted to connect with other aspects of himself. So he has this technique where he takes his clients on a journey where he tells them, connect with 25 different people. And what you do is he'll interview you based on the 25 people that you pick. So he's talking about the different people he picked, like Michael Corleone and Da Vinci, and the meaning they had for him to bring out who he is other than the Viking. So he could connect with these aspects of himself when he's on a job interview, when he's in a personal relationship, you know, showing up at the door with flowers and an axe. The girl might get a little frightened. So, Queen, does that help you to know what's going on? And just write it down in the chat room if that feels right. Because I want you to understand what's going on, because we're actually going to ask you to participate in this in a little bit. Okay, so keep going, Jay.
So anyway, I made my list of 25. Then I went on Google, and I literally Googled the images of those names.
Okay.
And then I made a collage of my list of 25. And we can put that online eventually. I'll put that, my list of 25, up there. So the process of doing this, I was doing it all myself, and I was just kind of like noticing, all right, well, that's this and that's this. So one of my best friends, you met him, Ray, came on. He says, hey, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, this image of the Vikings is a little strong. I'm trying to break it, and then this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this list of 25. He looked at the list, he goes, I wonder what my list of 25 is. And he immediately went and did his list.
Okay.
And his list, you know, and he kept, and it was part of the reason I don't put my list out there was he kept looking at my list trying to say, well, I don't have that guy, but maybe I have the, you know, it wasn't
right. It has to be a personal experience.
It has to be personal, and it can't be intermingled with anybody else's list.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you know somebody, you're like, oh, well, you know, you want to just do it, stream of consciousness, just put it out there. Who resonates with you? Who do you really feel groovy about? And just move forward that way. You know?
Absolutely.
So when he did his list, then I developed the interview process. I didn't interview myself because it was me. You know, it
right.
Look a little, looking a little silly, me sitting in the chair saying, so why this one? Well, I believe it's not.
Listen, you're the creator of this experience.
So I wound up interviewing him. And one of the people on his list, one of his biggest people, was Richard Branson. And he started researching Richard Branson. Again, thought, word, deed. So with the list of 25, we created the thought of what he wanted to be like, right?
Right.
Then that thought, like Richard Branson, he started to research Richard Branson. He really liked Richard Branson. He resonated with him, but he hadn't really researched him. And then he started doing research about Richard Branson, and he started talking like Richard Branson, thinking like Richard Branson, and he moved more in that direction. So right now he has, you know, an artist entertainment group. He has a bunch of different things that he didn't have a couple of years ago, because he moved. He gravitated himself in that direction of where he wanted to be.
Okay, so I think what I want to do is, because here's what I'm going to ask the listeners to do. I have my list of 25 because when Jay and me first started working together, you know, he asked me to create this, and we explored this. If you guys are open to it, what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to come up with 5 different people. And if you can, take him from different aspects of who you are. Like, here, and I'm going to...
No. Whatever the top 5 are that
okay.
make you wild. It doesn't matter. Don't,
oh, okay.
Don't try.
Okay, don't make it too... Okay, 5
don't
people...
Think about.
Okay, think less, do more. Okay, so what you're going to do is write down 5 names, and what we're going to do... Jay's going to do it with me to begin with, but as soon as you guys get 5 names up, I want you to call in, and Jay will do the interview process with you for the 5 names. Now, I mean, it will be a little bit shorter than normal. Of course, we're on the air, and so if, you know, we have 3 people call in, I want Jay to get to everybody. But you'll get an experience of what it's like, how these people, you know, can bring out the aspects of you. So I'll start, but as soon as I see a caller come up, if you guys want to participate, which would be awesome, I'll stop in the middle of my process because me and Jay have already done this. So here, first I'll read you the name of – these are my 25.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, Gene Roddenberry, Mary Magdalene. Oh, and by the way, these do not have to be real people, and you'll see in my list. You can literally take characters from a movie. You could even take, you know, cartoon characters. Anything that you resonate with. So Gene Roddenberry, Mary Magdalene, Viktor Frankl, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Christopher Columbus, Nikola Tesla, Osho, Da Vinci, Merlin, Carl Jung, Martin Luther King, Anthony Robbins, Louise Hay, and this I actually have a male and female because they reminded me of the same energy. Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison, Barbara Streisand, Mary Tyler Moore as a character, not as the actress, Ellen DeGeneres, Dolly Parton, again, here's another 2 people, Howard Stern and Jerry Springer, Princess Diana, Anna from Anna and the King, Jack LaLanne, Mary Poppins, and Snow White. So, you want me to pick 5, or you want to pick 5?
No. Let's take it from the top.
Okay.
Gene Roddenberry. What makes you excited about Gene Roddenberry?
I like the idea that Gene Roddenberry took science fiction, but I believe was really science fact. So he was connected to he alchemized time. I believe he went forward in time, pulled out visions that he had, created, you know, truly it's more than just a movie or a TV show. He created a movement called Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's his visionary, his brilliance when he wrote the episodes. There was such, there was science, there was art, there was entertainment, there was justice. He didn't look at gender, color, species, anything as being less than, more than. It was very much a melting pot of the universe. And I believe he was a man before his time. Him and actually, I almost put down Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone because he felt the same way to me. And that's why I chose him.
Okay, and I'm going to write Rod Serling as well.
Okay.
And what about Mary Magdalene?
Mary Magdalene was, for me, the feminine counterpart to Yeshua's wisdom, divine feminine, and yet I resonate with the whole outcast aspect of who she is. You know, how she's portrayed as, you know, being, you know, a slut. As she's portrayed of, you know, not being the most Victorian and proper people, at least not to me.
Right.
But she was the balancing counter energy of the divine feminine for Jesus. Yeshua is actually the name I prefer.
All right. Viktor Frankl?
Viktor Frankl was, I don't even know if you guys know this, but...
Franklin or Frankl?
Huh?
Viktor Franklin or Frankl?
Frankl.
Okay.
Do you know who he is?
Concentration camp survivor?
Exactly. Who wrote a philosophy... on the meaning of man. Yeah, he basically, in a nutshell, spent, I believe, 6 months in Auschwitz during World War II. And in the midst of all that horror and all that devastation and death and, you know, just, you know, true hardship and, you know, negativity, he wrote a logos on the meaning of man and understanding that if you give meaning to your life, it will create life for you. People that had meaning in their life lived through, some of those people lived through that experience where people that, you know, said, my wife and my children are all dead, they would die quicker or they would die in general. He noticed that he survived because he didn't know what happened to his wife, so he gave his life meaning. I'm going to survive because I want to find out where my wife is when this is done. And he wrote an entire philosophy around how, because he gave his life meaning, he survived the experience. And for somebody to, I mean, if you read his book, Viktor Frankl, The Meaning of Life, the first half of the book is his experiences in the concentration camp. I mean, he speaks about the beauty when he sees a bird land on the windowsill. And for someone to be able to see beauty in such horrific conditions, well, you know, boy, if I could hang out with him for a while, that'd be okay by me.
Right. Well, again, remember what we've been pounding is thought, word, deed. And, you know, literally he thought differently, he spoke differently, and he wound up surviving an absolutely horrible thing and created a thing of beauty from it.
Exactly.
Right, because he thought differently.
Right. Right, his perception was different. That's right.
Then his words were different because of his writing, and he acted on them, and he did something. He wrote them all down. So that's, you know, that's the creation. That's when the magic really gets engaged, is when you can align those three things, thought, word, deed, and you can really just move it down the pipe, so to speak.
Right.
Who was the next one after Viktor Frankl?
Gandhi. And Gandhi also for me is the understanding, be the change you want to see in the world. That's what Gandhi represents to me.
Right.
It's interesting that when I look at some of my people, I tend to resonate with the underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really believe that the true, you know, it's like one of the things I tell people is, we often forget, like, you know, at this point in time in history, clearly Jesus is a revered figure in history.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at his story, when Jesus was around, you know, essentially he had a following, but we, you know, the mass consciousness put him up on a cross and murdered him. You know, it's like they really didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say at the time Jesus was saying it.
Right.
And I understand that point of view from my spiritual path and journey has not always been widely accepted. It's clearly shifting more and more where people accept this more and more, but, you know, I've been on my journey for publicly anyways for, gosh, good 10, 15 years, and it's definitely, you know, I've had good friends look at me and go, you know, you are just one crazy chick there, Goldie. Which, you know, I that's kind of where the Gene Roddenberry comes in. It's almost like Gene Roddenberry, they didn't look at him like he was crazy because instead of just talking about this, he created the series. You know, he created it physically. And I remember when they did a show on science and Star Trek, and they showed how many things Gene, like the flip phone and all sorts of stuff that he literally came into it, you know, it came in on Star Trek first. Yes, Steve, definitely Mary Poppins for the nanny, because she's magical. So absolutely, that is the archetype that I was referencing there. That was somebody asking me in the chat room.
I was like, wait a minute.
Schizophrenic Goldie. You know.
On Gandhi, I think I missed a beat. So.
Yeah, no, I was answering that. So, right. Go ahead.
Who's next after Gandhi?
Nelson Mandela.
Right, and what makes you resonate with him?
Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in isolation in a cell, came out of that, and took a country that was, you know, had the frequency of apartheid and, you know, clearly a low-frequency, corrupt government, and through his amazing presence, shifted the entire country after spending 27 years in a jail cell. I personally find that to be one of the... when people say you got to do, you know, I don't know. There might be something to be. Because...
It's all three. You know what I mean? Again, thought, word, deed. You know, if you
right.
had stayed in the jail cell and never done anything, you would have never even heard him.
Right, but the fact that, I mean, that he came out and, you know, became the first black president elect and, you know, abolished apartheid, and he wasn't, you know, and I'm not saying, I believe fully that there was angelic archangels, masters that were assisting Nelson Mandela, which, I mean, I honor. So it wasn't like he wasn't doing anything. He was doing things from the cell. He was training for his role as president in that cell.
Yeah, but if he got out of the cell and went, ooh, that 27 years sucked, I'm going to Miami and getting a coconut.
Yeah, or it could have gotten, he could have came out and been pissed and, right. And not been, because, I mean, I've seen him on Oprah and stuff. I mean, the presence that he holds is, there is true forgiveness in that man. He does not, he just wants to move forward. He doesn't look back.
Mm-hmm. So who's next?
Christopher Columbus. He's the part of me that wants to explore the unknown and instead of, you know, shivering and standing there like a deer with my headlights. You know, let's go to the end of the earth and see if we fall off. How do you guys feel about that? You guys want to go to the end of the earth with me?
Let's look over the edge and see what happens.
Let's look over the edge. And let's go even one step further. Let's jump. Cool. Trish is with us.
And then, all right, who's next after Chris Forward?
Nikola Tesla.
All right.
And that's from the science inventor, creative. I believe that he had the ability to walk between the worlds. And that's what allowed him to understand currents. And because I believe he was a great inventor. And I know him and Benjamin Franklin work closely together. Benjamin Franklin might have been the marketing guru of the two. But Nikola Tesla.
Tesla and Franklin are two different eras. Tesla was in the, I believe, the 1800s, and Franklin in the 1700s.
Oh, then who, if it wasn't Franklin, who's the other guy?
Edison.
That's it. My bad. Edison. Yeah, him and Edison.
Now you're in the same.
Okay, my bad.
Of course, if Tesla can walk between worlds, maybe he did work with Franklin. So maybe that.
Yeah, no, but these were two that were actually alive at the same time.
Right,
because
right.
And, you know, Nikola Tesla, it's funny because I heard stories about him that he allowed people to think that he was a crazy scientist, a mad scientist, because in the work that he was doing, it was almost better at the time that the science community, he didn't want them necessarily watching him closely because it was right around, I guess, World War One. And there were things that he developed that he knew if the government got their hands on, it could have been devastating for humanity. And so he kept a lot of stuff that he created under wraps. He never exposed it. But in his own being, wanted to be able to explore, you know, walking between the worlds from a scientific point of view.
Yeah.
So I very much resonate with that.
So he's almost like a mental Christopher Columbus.
I wouldn't say mental, I'd say mystical.
Mystical, but he's an explorer of a sort.
Absolutely. There's a lot of explorers in my, yes.
Right.
Or
so
pioneers.
Who's next?
Osho. Osho was a philosopher from India. And I essentially love Osho because his philosophy is clearly based on pulling people out of mass consciousness, pulling people out of the matrix. And that is something I thrive for on a moment-to-moment basis.
So what do you mean? Talk to me more about that.
Osho's philosophies are, he kind of shows how mass consciousness is, like, he talks about many, many different subjects, but one of the subjects he talks about is being married. I was noticing that Steve and Joanne were talking about living in sin. According to Osho, the minute you get married and you put that that government piece of paper, that you have just literally, like, literally killed the creativity in that relationship. and how it's about, literally it is the ball and chain because it's, what it's doing is it's supporting the fear of the independence from each other as opposed to the trust that we're here together and anytime. There's a sense of creativity when you can walk from the relationship anytime you want but choose not to. That there's a sense of fluidity to that. And that's just one of the things. I mean, he talks about religion being, you know, much more non-spiritual, and that true religion is, you know, it comes from within. It could never be outside of us. Yeah, I got you too, Steve. I'm in on that. So it's all about understanding. I highly recommend Osho. Freedom, exactly. It's about the freedom of belief systems that, you know, clearly our culture and our schools and our religions have kind of, you know, taught us and boxed us in from day one. Osho pulls me out of those belief boxes. And in a very logical, sensical way. Sensical? Is that a word?
It is now.
It is now. All right.
It is tonight.
Yeah.
All right, and who's next?
Da Vinci.
Da
Vinci's also on my list. Well, Da Vinci is just one of those, gosh, if you get to pick 25 people out of everything, you know, why wouldn't you pick Da Vinci? I mean, he's everything. He's an artist. He's a scientist. He's a writer. Was it Da Vinci that could write both left hand and right hand simultaneously?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, boy, talk about a man who clearly was. My guess would be Da Vinci was some sort of avatar or some sort of, you know, truly mystical being that, however it works in the universe, kind of, you know, landed his way into, you know, humanity. I don't even know the time frame that he lived, but whatever time frame he lived, he would basically, you know, stand out because he is in the world but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always striving to be in the world and not of the world.
In the world.
In the world, but not of the world?
Right.
Which is what my whole thing is about, you know, defying the culture and beliefs, rebelling against, you know, having success, but maybe doing it without 17 letters after my name.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of beliefs. Yes, Steve, Osho pulls our heads out of our butts. So eloquent.
Another good way of saying it.
Exactly, exactly. Because it's funny, I have Osho, Da Vinci, and Merlin. They're kind of all, you know, very similar. Merlin, the best thing I can say about Merlin, who's my next one, is he's an alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
And I am all about alchemy is about 1 + 1 = 200. And there's a science behind that. And it is definitely my intention to first learn and then, you know, with a little practice, master alchemy.
Mm-hmm. So what about, Merlin, so what about the alchemy do you want to resonate with? Is it the creation of stuff?
So
1 + 1 = 2,000.
Right. Well, I guess what it is the alchemy is about, for me, hitting the easy button. It's going beyond the laws of physics into the laws of creation. And I'm all for creating big, large, huge. I just want to do my saying, what my philosophy used to be is minimum effort, maximum results. I mean, I'll be honest. See, now that's why I say that you were such an important player in my expansion. If you say that to many of the life coaches, they don't know how to incorporate that into the process of creation. Of manifesting.
What do you mean?
Well, meaning they don't believe their own techniques. I should say that's in the sense of, you know, it's still they'll go back and they'll say you got to do things in the physical in order, you know, you want to get a job, well, you got to fill out resumes. You know, it's like, well, what about the law of attraction? What about making an intention list and, you know, and see what comes to me? Where there many of the coaches I worked with. We'd always get to a point where I would be like, you know, that doesn't resonate with my spiritual beliefs. And the minute it doesn't resonate from my spiritual beliefs, I'm not going to follow someone to tell me to do something if it doesn't feel right to me.
Well, and what we talked about earlier is it's all about your feeling. You have to feel right about whatever it is. And you know, in coaching you, you know that the you know not that I'm I am sensitive and all the other stuff like that, but I have a good bit of like, oh, shut up.
You know, no, but I'll be honest with you, for a main aspect being a Viking, your sub aspects are truly, I mean, extremely sensitive. That's why I say, as much as you are the Viking, you have quite a a mother nurturing aspect to you, very maternal.
Yeah. I mean, the Viking wasn't. See, and that's the thing about creating the list of 25. The Viking wasn't the only thing that was in me, but it was my go-to move. You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's what you knew. Yeah.
And so much so that it was a reflex, as opposed to a choice. You know, I didn't like walk into a situation and go, look at my cards or my cast of characters that I could bring out. I just walked into a situation, I was the Viking. Walked into a different situation, I was the Viking. You know, it could be
right,
like...
You were conquering everything. Finesse might have really worked better. you didn't have
finesse,
to conquer the boardroom.
Finesse, charm, you know, something.
Absolutely.
You know,
wisdom. Wisdom has nothing to do with force. It has everything to do, you know, with, like, an isness.
Right. I have a funny little story.
Okay.
I was with someone, and they were literally like, we were having breakfast or something like that, and the person I was with, like, the waitress came over, and the person I was with was like, oh, hi, what's your name? And where you been? Oh, that's wonderful. Da-da-da-da-da, you know, and just chatty Kathy. And I'm like looking at her like, oh, what the hell? Just, you know, I want to order my food and get on with this, right?
Right.
And I literally had the best service of my life that day. And I went, maybe it's time for Jay to learn something.
Oh, interesting. So she brought the emotion to the food.
Absolutely. Well, it's not to the emotion.
But to the experience.
She what she did is she taught me. And you know what I mean? Everybody teaches everybody. You know.
Yes.
Everyone is our teacher and everyone is our student, so to speak.
Yes.
So what she taught me is I literally now, when I'm conscious enough, if I whenever I meet someone or wherever I walk, you know, whether it be a bank or getting my coffee in the morning or whatever it is, I take just the most smallest amount of time to say, hi, how are you? And not even really saying everything that she said, but intentionally, like, greeting the other person or accepting the other person, if you will.
Right.
And the amount of increase in my service of what I get now is amazing. I'm like, wow, how wrong was I for so many years just to walk around like, bah. Give me this, give me that.
You know, right. Osho would call that connecting your humanity.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. You go in there.
And he speaks of that, indeed. Indeed.
Right. So, Merlin, we talked about. Who's next?
Carl Jung. And Carl Jung is clearly metaphysical / psychology. You know,
right.
Understanding, you know, the whole unified field and, you know, mass consciousness and then going beyond mass consciousness to world consciousness and galactic consciousness and planetary consciousness. He is very much the teacher of consciousness.
Right.
And, you know, you knowing me, it's a world that I am fascinated with. I am fascinated with the human experience. Well, the human / divine soul experience. And, you know, he was clearly a pioneer in that field. And for myself as well as others, you know, I'm just I'm fascinated with it. I want to know why we do what we do. Why are we the knuckleheads we are?
We keep getting in our own way.
We do. So true.
Intrinsically, if we could just listen to ourselves, we would have the answers. But, we got so much other gobbledygook running through our heads about, you know, what should I do, what shouldn't I do, my mother said this, or my father said that, or my friend said this, or what is somebody, you know, what are they going to think of me down the block, or what's this going to, you know what I mean? All of that noise, you know, corrupts the actual true feelings that you have about what to do in every situation. I mean, meditation, all of that stuff is really just connecting with your own source that's within.
Absolutely.
You know, all of this list of 25 that we're doing is nothing but an exercise on how to ground you back to who you really are, you know, so you get to see it through these people. You get to see all these people are within you, the Carl Jung, the Merlin, the Gandhi, the Osho. All those people are within you, and because they resonate with you, because so that way that energy is within you. So to bring that energy out, to amplify it or exemplify it, you have to focus on it. You have to paint the picture of it in your head. You have to talk about it, and then you have to do stuff in that same regard. And you will become, and you will alchemize that energy within you. But all this stuff, you know, the real mystery of the list of 25 is there are just aspects of your own personality that all exist in you. And you're using other people to describe it to you, not to anybody else. So you hear you go, oh, that's what I want, and this is what I want, and that's what I want. So in the process, now we've done 11 people. So what's been your experience now? Because we know, you know, so what's been your experience as we do this? What are you feeling? What are you talking? What's resonating for you?
Oh, I'll be quiet. I'm forgetting I'm running a show right now.
Oh, you really?
Oh, my God. I mean, a couple of times I'm looking at my list, and it is such a fascinating experience to talk about this because it is exactly what you say. I'm just bringing out the best of Goldie. I mean, it's awesome, I think, that it's happening on the show as I come back into this reality. But, I mean, it's the feeling of It's a sense, and I rub my fingers together. It's just a incredible feeling of wellness, of accomplishments, of purpose. I mean, this list brings me great joy. That's why, listeners, grab five people that float your boat, and I'm here to share Jay with everybody. It took me a while before I came to this conclusion, but I would love for you guys to experience Jay's energy and this whole process. You know, it's here. We're right now. Definitely feel, if you want to call in, that would be most outstanding. And don't forget, hit the number one so I know that you want to talk. But anyways, yeah, Jay, I mean, I'm being this experience. I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so should we continue then?
Until somebody calls, yeah, absolutely. Right. Actually, Trish, would you like to try this experience?
Emmy?
Would you like to try five?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
excuse me. I have five.
Okay.
All right, well, hit me.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
My first person is, it's kind of funny, is Lars from Metallica, which
right.
is a heavy metal band.
Right.
And I chose him because I really like the drums, and I just think he's an awesome drummer.
Well, so what about him makes him an awesome drummer? Is his attitude, does he beat it better than anybody else? Is he, you know, what if there's lots of different drummers. What makes him stick out for you?
Well, I really like the band itself. There's just something, he's a very small person, he's not very tall, and he's, you know, kind of skinny, and it's just, there's so much power within him, and just watching him is almost, like, enchanting. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I watch him, I just am, like, in awe.
You're transported to a different place.
Absolutely.
Right. So by watching him, you feel and act differently in the process of watching him.
Yes.
In your regular day-to-day life.
Yes.
Okay. And who's next?
I actually put Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
That's cool, yeah.
And I chose her for, when I look at Dorothy, I see a person who goes on this journey, and in the end, there really was no journey she needed to go on, but needed to do the journey to get to the solution, even though the solution was right in front of her eyes.
Right.
And I kind of resonate with that because I'm kind of a hit the wall person a couple of times.
What do you mean?
Oh, like I know it's always there in front of me, but I don't sometimes get it. So I resonate with having to travel and do, because I kind of hit the wall sometimes, and then I'm like, okay, I'm not getting this, and bang, I hit the wall. And with Dorothy, I see the journey that she had to go through when all she had to do was just click her heels, but she had to do the journey. And I
right.
resonate with that.
Right. Now, when you think of Dorothy's journey, what do you think that journey means? Like, in other words, was it a journey in physical? She just had to walk around a lot? Or was there... I mean, well, that's why I'm asking the question. You know?
No, definitely not that she had to walk around a lot. It's just that she had to meet the other characters in the movie in
right.
order to get to the place where she needed to be.
Right. So she had to experience different things so she could be different.
Absolutely.
But unearth things within herself, almost.
Absolutely.
Right. Who's your third one?
My third one is Mary Poppins / Julie Andrews. Because
okay.
When I think of Julie Andrews, I think of Mary Poppins, and I also think of her playing her role in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
And I can't think of the other name, but she plays Victor Victoria.
Yeah.
And I just, Julie Andrews, my first theater experience was with Julie Andrews. She played Peter Pan. And as a brownie, as a little girl, I went and saw her in Peter Pan. And when I think of Julie Andrews, I just think of a wonderful actress and being able to be very magical. I find her to be very magical in the characters that she plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I don't know, I'm drawn to that.
Mm-hmm. You resonate with that, right.
Well, and the fact that my son really liked Mary Poppins and we watched it 559 times when he was a baby, but yes, that I just, there's just something about Mary Poppins.
The thing you
about,
liked it.
Yeah, exactly. It just was, I mean, I could sit down and watch Mary Poppins 559 times, but I couldn't really sit down and resonate with Barney 559 times.
Right.
There was
right.
something about her, Julie Andrews, that is mystical and magical to me.
Mm-hmm. And who else?
Dumbo.
Okay.
I have a huge love for elephants, and my love for elephants kind of comes from Dumbo, because he was so cute as a little baby, even with his big ears, and just the fact that he took his big ears and kind of turned it into a whole different situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just...
Well, that's hot, Trish.
I just think he's so cute. Yeah, well, he took those big ears, and everybody, you know, made him feel horrible. And but in the long run, in the end, he used his...
He flew.
Yeah.
Look at that. Elephant fly.
Yeah. And I just think that's cool.
I agree.
And he's was the start of my love for elephants.
Oh, yeah. So okay. I was going to get into it, but let's get the fifth one now.
The fifth one is a new kind of interest of mine, and it's Dr. Lee and the Ho'oponopono.
Dr. Len.
The what?
Dr. Len? I thought it was Dr. Lee.
No, Dr. Len.
And he does this whole Ho'oponopono, and I just am, it's something that really intrigues me, and I find that I'm, go ahead.
Explain that to me, because I don't know who that is or what that, you know.
Ho'oponopono is this process of clearing your garbage, so to speak. He takes you through a couple of steps. For instance, I do it with a lot of things. But if I were to do it with my dad, I would say, I love my dad. I love his divinity. Please forgive my garbage. I'm sorry. Thank you. And it's
mm-hmm.
just for me, I find that to be something that I just really connect with. It's quick, it's easy, I can do it all day long, I can do it in my thoughts. And it's something for me to help with all of my garbage that I'm going through and on my path to bigger and better spirituality.
Okay, actually, I think we have a caller with their hand up, so when you're done with this one, we have another one.
Okay. So just those five people, and again, it works better with 25, because you'll start to see, like with Goldie.
Absolutely.
You'll start to see some patterns show up. Like Goldie's patterns that start to show up are explorers, like Gene Roddenberry is an explorer into different places. Carl Jung is an explorer of one type. Viktor Frankl is an explorer. You know, there's an explorer archetype or an explorer thing that happens with Goldie. She also likes people who change status quo or, you know, increase human experience or delve into psychology and stuff like that. So for you, the five people, if you think about it, Lars, the thing that you liked about Lars, or the thing when I asked you what you liked about Lars is, he transforms, so you get to watch him become mystical or become magical or transform. And in his transformation, you had said he's diminutive and small, and he just portrays this big energy and he has all
right.
this stuff. You said you feel transformed when you're just watching him.
Right.
And that's very similar to what you're talking about with Mary Poppins and Julie Andrews, very magical and mystical. It's the same type of stuff there. Dumbo, you talked about, basically, the thing you like about Dumbo is he played the cards he was dealt, and then, you know, instead of, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade.
Right.
So that's something that resonates with you as well. And that playing the card you dealt is very similar to Dorothy. It's a little different. But if we had done the 25, you'll see that the patterns start to show up.
Right.
And there'll be three or four patterns. So just in a guess, you need to feel more mystical. So you need to surround yourself with things, places, and stuff that make you feel magical. And, you know, like I talked about creating a collage, or, you know, maybe you watch Lars 5 minutes a day and transform yourself on a regular basis to make you feel mystical or magical. Said in your own words, start the journey that Dorothy started that you are on as well. But notice what you need. You need some mysticism, or you need to feel mystical. You need to clear out, you know, you're talking about Dr. Len and clear out some baggage and stuff like that. That's all parts of your journey. So if we continue with the 25, maybe we'll do it some other time, you'll see there'll be like 3 to 5 different areas of focus. And that gives you direction of what you're really looking for in your life. And just through this conversation, you'll start to pick up, I want to feel more magical. Like one of the things I did with one of my coaching clients was she had to write down every time, she had to write down 3 times she felt magical every day. And what happened is when she started watching and tracking when she felt magical every day, she felt more magical as she went on. Because the more you pay attention to it, the more you think about it, the more you talk about it, and the more you do something about it, write it down in this particular case, the more it will show up, the more energy you get released in that direction. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense.
Right.
Jay, you're awesome. You're awesome. All right, listen, I want to get this other caller. So do me a favor. Put up Jay's information, Trish.
Sure.
And if anybody's interested in a private session with Jay, he's available for private sessions. And the one to contact is me. I'm Jay's manager. I like that. And if we have time, we'll come back to you. But I just want to make sure that we get the other people that have their hands up.
Awesome.
All right. But
thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thank you, Trish. Okay, I am taking 860 now. 860, you're on the air. Hello? Al? You had your hand up?
No, I didn't do nothing. I was just sitting here.
Do you want to do 5 people?
No, I'm all set right now.
Oh, okay. Well, if that was the reason why I was... Okay, then, Trish, if you want to continue... Jay, if you want to continue working with Trish, that's where I saw.
That would be fine.
Okay.
So, Trish, are you still on?
She is still on. Trish?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I can hear you. So how did that work for you, those 5 people? What did you feel like when we were doing that?
So this is where I have my issues, is my feelings and my emotions. What did I feel like?
Just as a point right there, by you saying this is where you have the issues with your feelings and emotions, you're just creating more issues with your feelings and emotions.
I know.
So just say something different. Say, this is where I have a lollipop. You know what I mean? You can't stop yourself from, you know, a lot of people say, well, just don't say it. That doesn't work. You have to do something different. So first you have to notice it when you do it. Then come up with something silly or stupid that makes you laugh about it. And then eventually it'll turn into, you know, well, I'm pretty good about this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So don't get all twisted and down on yourself, negative self-talk or whatever, you know, just come up with something like, you know, I have a green nickel today or something like that, you know, and every time you hear yourself put one of those negative statements out, follow it up with a crazy statement, you'll start to laugh about it, and then eventually you'll turn it around.
You'll transcend it, yeah.
There you go. That sounds awesome.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. We have a caller. All right, wait, let me check out this caller. Hold on. 719, you're on the air, and if you've been listening through the computer, if you could just turn your computer down, that would be great.
I just went to the other room, Goldie.
Oh, who is this, Steve?
This is Steve.
Hi,
Steve. I threatened to call you, see? Huh?
Hi, well, you rock, Steve. Well, I mean, are you enjoying the show?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Do you have five people?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, shoot.
Ralph Waldo Emerson.
Right. And what speaks, what does it speak to you about that? What, you know, what is Ralph?
The naturalist slash philosopher.
Right.
And looked at things very differently in his age compared to his, you know, peers.
Mm-hmm.
Just his very simple but deep vision that he had.
Right. So his simple and deep vision, what about that speaks to you? What do you resonate with?
I think more than anything is the simplicity. The world is not really that complicated of a place.
Right.
You know, we throw a lot of emotional garbage and drama in there to spice it up, but the actual world operates on some very simple principles.
Right.
The next one's Tinkerbell.
Oh, I love it! I love the fairies.
Yeah. Well, part of that's because of nature divas and fairies, and I've seen them since I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
Right.
But Tinkerbell was magic with an attitude.
Magic with an attitude. Very good.
Yeah, you piss her off, and she'll hurt you.
Oh, we've got a Viking on the air. Jay, keep talking. I got to shut my door. My father just opened the door. Just keep going on with Jay.
So Tinkerbell, nature diva, magic with an attitude. What else do you have for her?
The loyalty to a cause, you know, kind of thing. She was there to help out everybody.
Right.
But not always in the obvious way.
Right.
You know. And that's about it on her. The next one is Merlin.
Uh-huh.
And I think the most admirable thing, or the thing that really resonates with me about Merlin in the whole Arthur story, is he helped those around him find their strength within.
Mm-hmm.
You should resonate with that.
Right. Exactly, yeah. When you said it, I was like, oh, that's good. I'm going to have to write that one down.
Indeed.
But he was... You know, he was like Arthur's spiritual personal coach.
Right.
You know, and he helped Arthur to, you know, not only unify a country, but to unify himself.
Well, he raised Arthur from a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, so he actually molded his character intentionally.
Right. And Merlin, according to the legends, has, well, his mother was from Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always resonated with Atlantis, so anything from Atlantis is cool.
Yeah. So if you're from Atlantis, you get a free pass? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's good. You know, that's all right. So who else?
William Wallace.
Yeah.
Not so much the aspect of the patriot, but someone that will... go to the line for what he believes in.
Right.
And he wasn't doing it, excuse me, he wasn't doing it for the title, he wasn't doing it for the money, obviously.
Right.
But, and I think others felt that in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they, and there again, he emboldened or empowered people in themselves through being who he was, you know,
right.
From reaching inside and grabbing that strength that was him and going forward with something he truly believed in his heart, I, you know, that's an inspiration for other people to do the same thing.
Well, it's almost like living life fully, like willing to die for what you believe in.
Yeah.
Try not to put words in people's mouths, Dolby.
Sorry. That was my experience of what he was saying. That was my experience.
That's good.
Okay.
And that's really close to how I see it. You know, it's.
No, I know. But you don't want to like if you notice like when I'm talking to Goldie or I was talking to Trish and even yourself, Steve, it's very very difficult to try not to chime in because as soon as you start to do that, you start to take someone else on. You're mixing. You know, it's like you're talking about an alchemy. You're mixing the magics. I really am just trying to focus on what you're resonating with so I can get it clear. But it is very difficult because you're like, there's some cool stuff, and they're like, oh, that's cool, and you know, you don't want to.
Well, and Steve is a good conversationalist. It's like, wow, I could really make a conversation with this guy. My bad. Keep going.
All right. So who's next? You got William Wallace.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Mm.
Right.
And many of the same reasons as William Wallace. I mean, he spoke his truth, and I mean, he did it until they shot him down the streets like a dog.
Right.
And he knew. He knew he wasn't popular. He knew that his opinion was meeting with a lot of violent resistance.
Right.
But that didn't stop him. That didn't, you know, he didn't run and hide for that reason.
Right.
And I admire that trait. I mean, the same as William Wallace. He didn't back down, you know, even before the English, which had the largest army in the world. And Martin Luther King. I mean, we had the good old boys had the strongest political party ever, and he didn't back down from them.
Right.
You know, that's the trait that I admire the most from it.
Right. So just again, I would emphasize it works better with the 25, but we're in a short time frame.
Right.
But Steve, you can see how Tinkerbell has loyalty to the cause. William Wallace has loyalty to the cause. Martin Luther King Jr. has loyalty to the cause. That's something that you resonate with. That's something that you are a part. You know, that is a part of you, and that's what's yearning to come out, and you want to kind of play with that. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So you want to look around and find something to join that you can really commit yourself to. You know, something, you know, obviously, you know, don't do something silly, but I'm just saying that you want to experience that energy. So
therein comes the conundrum sometimes because I'm really not much of a joiner. So
right.
I don't know. After you said that, you know, all these guys kind of started their own thing in a sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you could start your own thing too.
You know,
but it's good.
I was
it's
in the Navy for over 15 years, so joining things just kind of rankled a little bit.
Yeah, you've kind of used up that joining stuff, huh? That energy's been done in this lifetime.
Yeah, but I was in Boy Scouts in the Navy. I'm done joining.
Freedom! Yeah! Sorry.
Well, that was Wallace's last word that he screamed out was freedom.
Yeah.
Really?
If there's any joy, you know, anything that I would join, that's, I guess, for people to find that individual freedom, that, you know, your own personal anarchy. You know, you're in charge of yourself. Be your own boss. Be your own person.
Right, and that's exactly what we're talking about is, and that's it. But it's a pretty scary, I mean, and I'll mess it all up, but Nelson Mandela has a great quote about it. He says, basically, you're not afraid of your low self. You're afraid of the magnificence that you are. I forgot.
Marianne Williamson talked about that as well.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with that, and that kind of echoes Emerson as well.
Yeah, right. It's very,
you know,
very similar to everything that Emerson does too. But and again, Goldie, just in Steve and Trish as well, the things that you need to do is we've been talking a lot about everybody's archetypes or their list of 25 or their list of 5. What you want to do is feel those discussions, and then you want to start surrounding yourself with those images. That's a little bit of a trick that tricks you into feeling that way. So, you know, for Trish, you know, she watches Lars play the drums, or Steve, you know, you have some posters of William Wallace or Martin Luther King, you know, the I Have a Dream speech, when you listen to that, it's just transformational. So you do that on a fairly regular basis, and it transports you and it gets you in that space. So and when we talked about earlier in the program about Goldie maintaining that space of being the general manager of a radio station, you need to do things that keep you in that space mentally long enough for it to take some traction and for things start to happen. So that's all these different things are just tricks in how to get you to act and move in the correct, you know, in the correct way for you, not in the correct way for anybody else, because this is all derivative of what you want, you know. Does that make sense?
Right. Cool. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you for calling in, Steve.
No problem.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stay on the line. Joanne wants to do her five.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Okay, rather than calling in again.
Oh, exactly. Good.
So if I push one again, does it raise my hand again?
I'm just going to leave. You guys seem pretty quiet over there. I'm just going to leave you guys on. So whenever she's ready to come on, she's welcome to come on.
Well, here she is.
Oh, and there it is.
Hey, Goldie.
Hey, love. How are you?
I'm so good.
You are. Yes, you are. All right, let's play with your five.
Okay. Well, my first one is an author named Greg Braden. I really resonate with his work. He, most of his work has been publishing the connections between the past, you know, the Isaiah fact, the God code, that kind of stuff.
Right.
With quantum physics. And his newest book is called Fractal Time, which plays around with, you know, what is time. And it's just so interesting to me, and I really resonate with him. I wish I could be like, you know, somebody like that, who could go exploring to the ends of the earth, but I'm not that smart, let's put it that way.
Oh, Jay, take over.
Yeah.
You're not getting away with that easily. Go ahead, babe.
Well, and you get to be whatever you want to be. So if you want to believe you're not that smart, then guess what? You're right.
It's too much.
But I would encourage you that you are that smart, and you have to believe that first. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like,
well,
you know.
That's true. I guess that's been one of my bugaboos for quite a while now. But
well, let's put it this way. Let me just as a brief instance. So you're talking about an author who has connections to the past, and you have you read these books?
Have I read them? Most of his books I've read, yeah.
Okay, so do you understand most of it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, so that means you've got some intellect whatsoever. You know, not a lot of people can. So right there, you're doing pretty good, right?
Yeah. No, I agree with it. I get it. I'm just, I guess it's between getting it and then expressing it to someone else or to other people. That's where I find it difficult. Like even just talking to you, you know, I kind of freeze up. But,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, sometimes I do, yeah. And that's not, once I get to know people, I don't. I'm probably as chatty as Goldie is.
I don't know about that. That's a tall order.
Anyway, I know that's one thing I do have to let go of is not thinking I'm as smart as I really am.
Right, and again, what like I told Goldie, it's talk less, do more. So
yes.
Talking about letting go, that's nice, but that doesn't really do anything.
No.
You know, you just let it go. Now that doesn't mean you're gonna all of a sudden, you know. You're not going to have a conversation and go, okay, whew, thank God that's over with.
Yeah, right. No, I don't do that. No,
right.
In fact, we both just read, there's this guy named Jeffrey Hoppe, and he channels an entity named Tobias.
You know Tobias?
Pardon?
Yeah, I didn't know you followed Tobias. I also thought so.
Yeah.
So you're in Denver. I'm sorry, I have to interrupt this for a second. Do you actually go to the channelings Coal Creek? Oh, okay.
No, we haven't ever gotten up there.
Oh, okay.
One day, but No, right now, no. But
and it doesn't matter because clearly he comes through the computer and he's right there in your home.
Oh, very cool, right?
Yes.
And the one of his most recent channelings, I think it was a time ago, he talked about it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And boy, did I resonate with that.
Exactly.
Did you read that, Goldie?
I totally resonated with that. It didn't offend me at all. Didn't
no,
offend me at all.
I went, yes, you know.
Exactly. Well, because it, you know, it's what matters is the belief we're putting on these things, not
yeah.
these things per se.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want to take over with Jay. Jay, you must know, I mean, you know enough of me talking about Tobias that that's who she's referencing.
Yeah.
I really like him.
Yes, so do
anyway,
I. Anyway. Oh, we're going to talk about that privately, Joe. Keep going.
The next guy I have on my list is Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
He was so connected to nature. You know, we watched some biographies about him, got the movies from Netflix and stuff, and he was an architect, which I love to draw floor plans and stuff like that, so I resonated there. He had marvelous gardens, and I love to be out in nature, and I've been digging in my rocky dirt up here in Colorado and the last couple days, and it's funny because I've had some great experiences where everything all of a sudden turns really vivid in color. And I don't know, everything is like high definition. It's just wild. And then I'll come out of it, and I'll go back in, and it's just been a wild experience the last couple of days doing that. So I really identify with the nature part of Thomas Jefferson. And then I have Gandhi, of course, for you know, pretty much the same reasons that Goldie did. I love the be what you want to see. And also his passive resistance. You know, he didn't believe in violence.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
He got the changes he wanted by being passive, which is great. The next person I have on my list is Eve, Adam's mate.
Who?
You know, Adam and Eve. First woman, Eve.
Oh, Eve, okay.
Eve, yeah.
First woman, Eve, yeah. I think I might have heard of her once or twice.
Exactly. She's been referenced
biblical,
a few times.
Yeah, biblical Eve, but my interpretation of her is totally different. And, you know, I don't think she was, you know, created the what do they call it, the sin that's passed down generation to generation.
Mm.
I think that... I feel, I don't, you know, I like to use that word more than think these days. I feel that she that she was offered the opportunity to know duality. You know, previously they'd been in the Garden of Eden and everything was hunky-dory and sweet and wonderful. And this opportunity to came along for them to have the experience that duality gives us. She bit the apple, you know, and that changed everything. Duality gives us so many different experiences. I believe we come here and choose, you know, the lifetimes that we want to experience, be it pain and suffering or joy and abundance, you know. We've gotten a choice, even though sometimes I don't think we know it, that's what we're experiencing. I really, really like Daniel Jacobs' Vacation in Limitation idea.
Yeah.
I really do, because that's what we come here to experience. And then the next person on my list is Geronimo.
Mm.
He was a rebel. We've been watching that PBS series about the Native Americans. And how they resisted against the onslaught of the white people. And I feel like a lot of times I'm a very quiet rebel because I don't go along with mainstream thinking. I did for years, and then slowly over the years I've changed into who I am now. And so I feel like I identify with the rebel part of Geronimo. not, you know, not all the killing and stuff, but they, he again, and all the Native Americans, and I kind of resonate with most of all of them, because they were also connected to nature, and they understood how things worked in their, you know, in their own way, but I really connected with that, so. And I have one more thing on my list.
Mm-hmm.
A cat. I identify with cats because cats live in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Any house cat, you know, any cat, jaguar, panther, whatever. Cats live in the moment. They don't worry about the past. They don't worry about the future. They're here now.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, that's my list so far.
So what did you experience when you're putting the list together? Have you thought of stuff like this before? Or?
No, I never have. It was kind of fun, actually.
Right.
And I didn't really think about it. These names just popped out of my head, and I wrote them down.
Right, and that's the right way to do it, because then you're really just listening to yourself, listening to
right.
your inner self. That's really
right.
just kind of talk to you.
I
so
mean,
it's,
if
it's,
I had an hour to do this, I probably would have come up with a whole different list, but then I would have been thinking about it. So.
Yeah, and you can't really think about it.
No, so this little weird, strange list just popped out of my head.
Well, from these five, what do you get? Do you get an archetype, Jay?
Well,
I thought it was quite diverse, personally, but...
Yeah, there's... No, like, Joanne, we probably need to go more. We would probably need to go to 25 for Joanne, because we went from the author Thomas Jefferson, Gandhi, Eve, Geronimo. I mean, there's you know, we're kind of all over the place.
Right.
Yeah.
And not that all over the place is bad. It's just that there isn't anything that's...
It didn't pattern. It didn't show a pattern in the five or six. So.
That's why it's a list of 25 and not a list of five.
Gotcha.
You
but the ones I did pop in, you know, that popped into me, you know, I think showed my connection with nature.
Yeah, well, that's the cats, Geronimo, Eve, Don, you know, not Jefferson. So there's nature running amok in those.
Well, countries. And there's also writers. I mean, clearly Jefferson, I mean, he helped write the Declaration. The author
right.
is a writer.
Right.
So there's expression in writing.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what you find is when you do it. When you do out the full 25, you'll find that there's, you know, like I said, 3 to 5 pretty distinct things. And
right.
those are the things that you should start to surround yourself. That's the energy that you are asking yourself for, you know, so for lack of a better way of saying it. So you want to try and figure out ways to surround yourself in those energies.
Well, that's cool. I'll have to make a longer list and see if I can find a pattern.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting way to, you know, figure yourself out, I guess. But,
go ahead.
I'm like Steve. I'm pretty laid back and, you know, kind of take things as they come and don't get real worried about stuff anymore. And, you know, that's why he and I get along so well together.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things I like about when I work with Jay is he for me taps into the creative side. These kind of things are like, wow, that's kind of fun. And he's got other things, these techniques that he does that, you know, I could actually do these techniques with a 4-year-old, not necessarily to derive the same purpose, but because they're fun techniques
and they're easy to do. Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
And yet they really kind of reveal so much about who we are, you know, just from what we resonate with, or, you know, because
right.
Jay, what was that, you had the, remember that you sent me an email in, there was 4 questions, or there it was something that when you wanted, you were expressing that I should utilize this when I was working with the radio show host, when I was the general manager, do you remember that? And if you can't think of it, don't worry about it. That'll be next show.
No, but generally what happens is you want yourself, your mind is like a slot machine. It will answer whatever question you ask it. So if you ask it, why is all this stuff happening to me? Your mind would go, oh, I'll give you that list. You know what I mean?
Right.
But equally, you can ask yourself, what is my highest and best purpose? What is my magic? What is this? The questions you ask yourself, and if you train yourself to ask yourself the right questions, your mind will also will answer the questions you ask it. So, how can I get $1 million? How do I find the love of my life? Those are the questions you need to ask yourself, not how come I haven't gotten $1 million and
That's
how
right.
come I haven't found the love of my life.
Right.
And you ask yourself those questions. And then, like we were talking about, like you had said, Joanne, was mm-hmm. in a very stream of consciousness way, you just want to write a bunch of stuff down. Sit quietly, ask yourself the question, and just write down what comes to you.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it's your subconscious trying to tell you how to do the things that you want to do. So, like one of the other, I'll call it tricks I have up my sleeve is for a couple of different people now, I've created their perfect mate. And I haven't, and when I say I've created their perfect mate, it's not like I went back to the lab and, you know, threw a bunch of clay on the ground.
Darn.
You know, the process of asking questions and the process of making a list and the process of doing stuff has, you know, created, perfect mates and people who got married about it. And it's, you know, and I just, you know, I did it because they were friends of mine and that kind of stuff like that. And it's a process that works.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to the list of 25. You make a list of, you know, what your ideal mate is, and you focus on it, and you feel it in your bones, and you walk around every day, and you look at the list, and you feel it in your bones. And by feeling it, and by understanding it, and being in that space, those that, you know, you're talking about, you start to enact the laws of magnetism and the laws of manifestation. Because it comes to you.
Yeah, I've
because you're,
that.
And again, going back to our whole theme of the conversation, thought, word, deed, it's because yeah. you're aligning yourself with your thoughts are in line with your words, which are in line with your deeds.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've done that. Plus, I had another trick. Can I tell you about one more little trick?
Of course.
I bought a toothbrush, and I called it my blue-eyed tall guy. And I put it next to mine in the drawer.
Oh!
And after I did that, Steve showed up.
Really? He was in need of a brushing. Well, but you know, that's literally you were preparing the space, because I've heard that, you know, prepare the space, prepare a draw, empty a draw for a person.
Yeah.
Things of that nature, where if you're, you know, if you want to invite someone into your life, you've got to prepare the space for them to show up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I agree with that. But it was kind of a fun thing. I mean, there were other things, too.
It wasn't just a toothbrush.
No. But it helped.
Well, I mean, Jay has told me from the beginning, everything helps because, we're never not creators. And this is Tobias, I mean, clearly.
Oh, right. No, we create it all, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know.
And the beautiful.
And the beautiful, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to let you go.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. I mean, and for being here tonight. And now that I know that you share my love for my boyfriend, we have hours of talking to do, Joe, hours.
Absolutely.
Okay, indeed.
Thanks so much, Jay. It's been really fun.
Oh, no, it's a pleasure meeting you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. So we still have another 15 minutes left. If anybody's interested in sharing their list of five, Jay would be happy to experience that. And, these really are, amazing processes, you know, exploring others to learn about self.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so amazing because... you know, it really goes back to the philosophy of we are one, right? They are part of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those energies exist in you. You just, because of morality, because of your parents, because of the way you live, or whatever it is, you've convinced yourself that they're not part of you. But your subconscious or whomever lies inside of you is crying out for him, and that's why those names come to life.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
why those things show up in your head and that kind of stuff like that.
Yeah. So, how about if we talk about? You want to talk about the intention sheet? Because we have about 11
sure.
minutes left.
Sure.
So that was because that's another. Another wonderful technique, and you know, I know other people are using it. It's for me, it was a matter of doing these things that these techniques that Jay would have me do, and I mean, I really can't emphasize enough. Jay is a frequency holder of my highest good. I mean, it's almost like you know, you think about it when the conversation first started, and Jay was referencing himself as a Viking. I mean, it's like. Jay is like my superhero. I mean, there's never a conversation that if I dip into my insecurities or if I dip into my, you know, my less than or my lack of self, Jay, he doesn't let me, it's never, that is just never accepted. But it's never, you know, you don't say to me, you know, Goldie, you're wrong. You are abundant. You do it with a quite a finesse and quite a, you know, you'll point out, well, here, wait, you know, you say that, you know, you're this, but look, remember just a week ago, you were doing this, and this. And it's like, so the reason why I'm saying this is it's a wonderful experience to have somebody in your life that when you share your vision with them, there's no flaws. He will hold that vision for you until you create it. And then when you create it, you know, and you say, okay, you know, let's do that again. You know, like the Lifesaver commercial, do that again. You know, because I'll tell you, when me and Jay first made this intention sheet, and as he was saying earlier, the whale sponsor. I mean, a sponsor came into my life, a gentleman that was basically offering us, you know, like $80,000 to do with as we would. And it never came to fruition because it was not. I manifested it, but I actually gave it away to someone else to play with, and so I never utilized that experience as mine because, in all honesty, I was in shock that it was even there. So it was almost like I created it, and then I dropped the ball because I didn't go the next level. But once you create something like that, you really kind of get that, well, if you can do it once, you can do it again. And if
Right.
you can do it again, how about this time, instead of just creating it as showing up, let's create it as signing. I want to get – let's sign it. Let's drop some green back in, you know, in Goldie's account. And actually what happened, I did close that radio deal, you know. I mean, I did drop some greenbacks in my account and you know, wonderfully so, with somebody very happy with what happened. But, you know, again, the whole process is that I didn't know that I could do – I'm not one that comes from the business world. I come from – you know, I've been a nanny for 17 years. I cleaned houses before that. I've done some other businesses. I've never really been corporate. And Jay helps me to see that you don't have to have had experience in corporate to be successful anywhere you want to be. Just choose success, and that's what you'll be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm truly grateful to you, Jay.
I love you.
Oh, I have to make you blush. I love you, you big Viking lug. It is totally awesome, Trish. It is. This is who I told you about.
I just want to be clear. It's not me. It's you. It's you're the one, and it's everyone else. It's all I'm doing is providing a method for you to talk to you. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah, but you're a cheerleader that, you know, how many times have we said if we only had moral support, what we could do? Jay is not just moral support verbally, but he's got the wisdom to help you, you know, redirect your thoughts or make the intention sheet or visualize, you know, one of your 25 characters. Whatever the case, I went from growing in inches to growing in yards. And I mean, and I, you know, I'm not, this is only the beginning. I'll keep you guys informed. thank you, Steve. I do love what I do. Absolutely, passion is a major aspect of the idea of growth. I absolutely agree with that. And it's funny because in America, most people, if you ask them what they're passionate about, they correlate it with something that they believe will make money. And I'm a firm believer that just trust your passion and the money will show up. Because the truth of the matter is I never intended, prior to being on the radio, I never had an intention, verbally or otherwise, that said I want to be on the air. And yet when it came to me, when the offer came to me, do you want to have your own radio show, it was like one of those, you know, as I hit myself on the forehead, well, duh, of course I want to be on the air. All I do is talk anyways. But the funny thing was, that never came from a verbal or written intention of mine. That came because I'm passionate for talking.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I ask people, what are you passionate about, I see how their minds go into a place of that it's a place where they believe the money will be instead of trusting their passion will create money around it. Does that make sense how I said that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I would leave the judging of others to somebody else. The only thing you can do is watch people and see what works and see what doesn't. And what works, you know, copy. What doesn't, don't copy. You know, like I had a great story that I had somebody I used to work with, and he came back into my life a couple of years, you know, after I worked with him about 98 and 99, and I found him again somewhere around 2007. And he used to work with me in one of the plants that I had turned around. And we went out to dinner, him and my wife, and he was talking to my wife, and he says, you know my favorite story about Jay? My wife was like, no, I have no idea. He said, you know, we had just turned around this plant. Everything had, you know, literally went from worst to first in like a year. The entire operating committee flew up from Houston to spend the weekend with me to learn how I did it so we could export those techniques to different places in the company, right?
Wow.
So 14 guys from Houston, 14 suits from Houston fly up to spend the weekend with me to you know, understand and quantify all these different processes and stuff like that because it was such a great ride, you know?
Yeah.
So the president of the company says, you know, leans in. He says, all right, Jay, you know, we're all here. We're out to dinner like Friday night. And again, this is my friend Scott telling my wife this. He says, so we're out to dinner Friday night, and the president of the company leans into Jay, and he says, all right, so tell me, you know, how did you do it? And Jay leaned back, kind of rocked his head a little bit, leaned forward, and said to the president of the company, I tried not to do stupid stuff. And if I did something stupid, I tried not to do it again.
Now, meaning Jay, you're saying yourself, this is what you said to the president.
I said to the president of the company,
right.
I tried not to do stupid stuff. And if I did something stupid, I tried not to do that again.
Exactly.
I literally, like, went back to my soup, and that was the riddle of my entire, you know, all the processes and all. And then, you know, it's an oversimplification, but it really is that simple. Like Steve was talking about with Emerson and stuff like that. Things are elegantly simple. We generally make them very complicated.
Right.
It is as simple as aligning thought, word, and deed. It is as simple as talk less, do more.
Or one of the ones I like that you said earlier with Trish, watch and document, so you watch more, therefore creating more of it. I like that. That's stalking ourselves.
Right.
I like that.
Those are all the different things, you know, and you just keep doing it, and what works, do. What doesn't work, stop doing.
Well, yeah, isn't there a famous thing, I don't know, like from Confucius or Rumi, you know, it talks about, no, this is an Osho thing, I think, but it could be from Rumi, how, you know, there was a guy who kept hitting himself on the head with a hammer, and somebody walked up to him and goes, why are you doing that? Because it feels so good when I stop.
I got it.
Okay, we've got about a minute left. 59 seconds. You want to give a closing?
No, I mean, I hope whoever's listening find it kind of interesting. If you'd like to talk further, email me at jsikora@fullcontactcoaching.com.
Okay, when he says J, it's the letter J, not J-A-Y. So J, the letter, Sikora, S-I-K-O-R-A, at fullcontactcoaching.com. He's available for sessions. He's fabulous. Steve and Joe, I love that you have each other, and that's awesome. For anybody out there who doesn't have a conscious partner, you know, as Goldie's waving her hand in the air, Jay is available for you guys, anyone who's interested. And, you know, all right, we've got 10 seconds. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here, everyone. Thank you, Trish. Thank you, Al. Thank you, listeners who are going to be in the future listening to this. It's an extreme pleasure to be on the air. I love being here. It's a pleasure serving you. And I will see everybody next week. So bye.
For having me.
Oh, Jay Bird, thank you. Thank you, Jay Bird. I love you guys. Bye. Okay, wait a minute. Trying to figure out this. Okay, now I think we have the stream is down, but the chat is still up. So let me just say goodbye to everybody in the chat. All right, Jay Bird, what did you think? Jay?